Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Bases loaded, two down, bottom of the ninth inning. And the 3-1 pitch, ball four. The Cubs have lost the ball game.
Yeah, the ninth inning did not go well.
My job is just to make the game easy for everybody else. Come in and make sure, you know, guys get an easy looks, guys feel confident on the floor. I feel when you, as a point guard, when you can get other people around you going and making them involved in the game, getting them feeling good early, it opens the game up for everybody.
Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
Good evening and welcome in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody here with you tonight until the Cubs and San Francisco get going at 8:10 tonight is when our pregame coverage will begin. The first pitch will be at 8:40 tonight. The Cubs and San Francisco, and yeah, last night was bad, as you heard coming in with Pat Hughes delivering the bad news of the Cubs losing the game. Drew Smyly getting some ninth inning time, just like everybody right now is getting some ninth inning time. Drew Smyly enters the game and ultimately walks Wilmer Flores with the bases loaded, and you have another tragic sports contextualized game for the Cubs this year. So many worst losses of the season. Was that really the worst loss of the season? I could think of a couple others that were pretty flat and bad and awful and just horrific in the end as well. But that one sticks. That leaves something. That's for sure. You also heard coming in there, I believe that was Josh Giddey, whom the Bulls recently acquired. We're going to hear from him a little bit later on as he was talking out at the United Center, getting introduced to the media. So we'll get to know him a little bit later on. And yeah, look, there is stuff to talk about when it comes to the Cubs and what has happened, what happened last night. There's some things that I definitely want to get to, but and I'm open right now, 312-644-6767, if you want to get on Cubs conversation on your drive home or wherever you might be listening, maybe on the Odyssey app right now. 312-644-6767 to call, or if you want to text in the conversation. Tonight is a big game for the Cubs. Cubs at San Francisco tonight, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, all Cubs games are big right now. Every single one of them is large because the countdown to it's too late. I got nothing left for you. You should have done this. You should have done that. You had the time and you didn't do it. We're getting to that point, folks. The Chicago Cubs right now at 37-42, they are 9 games back in the National League Central. Yes, they are still, you know, behind in a little parking jam right now for the wild card, but I'm sorry, I still do look at it as the alarming number to me is the 9 games out in the division. That just tells you what kind of a team you are in general, and you know, backing into the playoffs is probably not something that is not even possible at this point for the Cubs. But I've been talking about it now. I mean, we're at that point where you do look at what's coming. I mean, the Cubs have 83 games left to this season, so that's enough games to turn things around. But every day we're watching the same Cubs games in terms of these horrific losses and these just by the skin of your teeth victories, and maybe even a blowout every once in a while, like the Mets pummeling Shota Imanaga by 10 the other day. A little bit of that mixed in, but you know, it's the Cubs are 9 games back right now, and if they're going to get going, it's every day is a big game until the countdown is over and this team just you like where it's confirmed that they're not good. So this game is big for that reason. The other reason and the reason that I actually had been thinking about prior to that one just kind of popped up, is the guy who was pitching tonight. That is Kyle Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks, what a big night for him. And obviously for the Cubs in that regard. Kyle Hendricks, who we know how the season has gone for him. It's been a rough season. He was pulled from the rotation But then you thought, oh, he's going to come back and get his place, and ultimately he was put in the bullpen. He started that game against San Francisco on Wednesday, 5 2/3, allowed one run, and struck out 8. He was terrific. Like, if you watch the game, you know it was kind of vintage. It was good to see the strikeouts back from Kyle Hendricks. The control was back from Kyle Hendricks. Location, he looked like Kyle Hendricks, which has been very rare this year. So you look at it as take it for what it was. That's a good game, but you still have a little ways to go before anybody could say you're back in the starting rotation. So tonight is huge, huge for Kyle Hendricks. It is the same team against which he did the damage into the sixth inning that I just highlighted for you. So I don't know if that's good or bad. One way or the other, there is familiarity. And Kyle Hendricks, it seems like, does tend to pitch well on the West Coast. Has had some, like, terrific games. I think more San Diego, but I think he's pitched pretty well in that ballpark as well throughout his career, just kind of thinking off the top of my head. So that is two reasons why tonight's game is huge. And I don't want to get to the point where I'm saying, you know, the Cubs are so far out, you know, right now things are still possible, but it's ugly. It is ugly. And it's pretty funny that we chose, I did, and I think a lot of you did, and I think a lot of those who prognosticate baseball did the same thing. And that is, at the beginning of this season, when we're all doing our picks for the divisions, and I went back and looked at some of the bigger outlets that did their mock drafts, or their mock, I'm thinking about mock drafts because I got this Bulls show tomorrow, but they did their division picks, and most of them, MLB.com, The Athletic, CBS, they all picked the Fox.com. They all picked the Cubs to win the National League Central this year. It wasn't necessarily the Cubs are going to the World Series or going to do damage, but it was, yeah, the Cubs were a favorite for the division. And the reason is because we all, in this world of negativity, and I know a lot of it comes out of my mouth at times, you know, from us at the Score, like, because we're talking through you. You know, we know that you're angry, and we get angry too watching this, where our sensibilities are all insulted at some point in time. But we all took the positive part from last year when we had a chance. We could have been cynical about last year. Last year was quite the ride because the Cubs were 26-36, 10 games under 500 on June 8th. I mean, this is last season is what we're talking about here. And then by September 6th, fast-forwarding through a lot of stuff, they had turned things around to the point that the Cubs had a 92.4% chance of making the playoffs. And then the Cubs choked. They choked at the end because they got nothing. No wild cards, no division, nothing out of that season. But we all saw that and chose to be like, oh, they were pretty impressive. You know, Justin Steele was pitching innings beyond anything he'd ever done. So, you know, Dansby Swanson cools off after, like, looking like the best player on the team in the first half of the season. So people, I mean, we all looked at it as, okay, Dansby Swanson needs a break. Justin Steele, you know, he'll be back and he'll be strong next year. And he has been. Justin Steele has been terrific, but he did begin the season on the DL this year. So I think that there was reasons why you felt positive about the Cubs going into this season, but I just think it's fascinating that we all, for once, we chose the nice part about the season, chose to believe in that, as opposed to what was maybe really going on with this Cubs team, and that maybe they were more 26-36 than they were, what did they finish this season? What, 82 wins, I think, last year. Like, that, maybe that was the more real part. And again, I am complicit in this because that's exactly the same way that I was feeling about that. To that end, last night on my guy, Gabe Ramirez was hosting last night, and he had on Steve Phillips, the former Mets general manager. He's now an analyst on TSN, as well as a really good talk. I would definitely encourage you to listen to all of it, maybe after me and after the Cubs game. But last night, Steve Phillips was on, and something caught my attention. He was talking about what is starting to happen, and that is to pick apart the Cubs roster. Where did we miss it? Where are the flaws, and in whose hands does it land? Here's Steve Phillips.
You know, they've got a lot of pieces that can fit, but they don't all fit together right now. It's a little clumsy the way the roster is, right? If you know, where does Wisdom fit? Where's Morel fit? Where do they play defensively? If you're on a go for the offense, then you're struggling on the defensive side of it. And how do they all, you know, get in the lineup in a way that mixes and matches together? And, you know, it's a team built for a guy like Craig Counsell, who likes to work matchups but I don't know that he has the right pieces yet to match up in all of the right situations. And if you get the aircraft carrier and that big guy in the lineup who's just your penciling in, he's going to be there every day, and you have Bellinger, and you have Suzuki, and then you can blend the other guys around him, I think it gives Counsell a better chance to work his magic.
Yeah, that's really good stuff right there. And I do think about, and this is Steve Phillips again, former Mets GM and now working for TSN. He was on the Score last night with my guy, Gabe Ramirez. I find it fascinating that starting to talk about the way the roster was put together and name checking a couple of guys, including Christopher Morel. And when they were going to put Christopher Morel at third base, I was like, really? I mean, that you're going to need a lot of help with that, just because we've seen the defense. I did end up, still do actually. Now I do understand, because there was, and Morel's been, he's been fine, but there was a little bit desperate with Morel, because they were like, since we didn't get as much offense as maybe we thought we should have gotten or could have gotten during the offense beyond Cody Bellinger, like they had planned to add an extra bat in there, and it obviously has not provided the proper oomph for this Cubs offense in any way, shape, or form. But I think that they thought, well, we've got Christopher Morel. If we put this guy at third base, we let him work through some things, and then we benefit from what he does with his bat. And I think that, there were some projections, which obviously have not yet hit their maximum or topped out with guys like Nico Hoerner and certainly Dansby Swanson, although he has been hitting the ball better as of late. All those things go into it. But I just thought it was interesting that Steve Phillips, starting to question Jed Hoyer and how this team is put together. And I think that's a correct place to put it. As far as last night is concerned, I mean, I think last night was, and check me if you've heard this before, because there becomes this point where I just, like last night, I was not angry. I felt bad for the Cubs. I felt bad for them for that game. There was no, at this point, 9 games back, it's getting hard to, look at a game through a winning lens in any way, shape, or form. But when San Francisco scores 3 in the 9th and they win it off 2 guys that made their way in the 9th, what are the Cubs going to do in the 9th inning? What's going to happen here? What's Craig Counsell going to do? Who's it going to be? How about choose 2? Let's go Colton Brewer and Drew Smyly. And that's exactly what happened last night. He goes with the both of those guys. Colton Brewer allows the sack fly. That made it 4-3, and he just put himself into a mess right away. Drew Smyly enters. He allows a sack fly, and then the big sin, walking Wilmer Flores with the bases loaded. So it was just, I don't get into the feel bad for the starting pitcher thing. I felt bad for the Cubs and Cubs fans and everybody that is supporting this team, that when that happened again, like just losing that way, that was awful. But, you know, Justin Steele can be proud of what he did last night. 7 1/3, 2 runs on 6 hits. He struck out 9. He walked 1. He did allow the 2 home runs, the Matt Chapman and Nick Ahmed getting to him last night. But he was good, and he has been good. It feels like Justin Steele has totally centered himself, and I think that he's going to be fine for the rest of the season, assuming that he stays healthy and he can get through that rough end part of the season as well. 312-644-6767. We're open, like I said. Why don't we, because I'm just looking at the call screener for the first time here, why don't we take a call? I am told by our executive producer, Alex Kuhn, that we have Jim in Chicago. Hello, Jim. You're on the Score.
Hello, great show. I just wanted to state a couple things. I like the signing of Council, but why would you give him all that money and give him an inferior product? You know they needed power hitter. You know they needed a relief pitcher. You know they needed a catcher, and they've done nothing to address it. Every night it's like, who's going to blow the game late in the innings? Their starting pitching has been awesome. Imanaga had the 2 bad starts, but he's going to probably have 2 or 3 more. I mean, I just don't get it. If I know what they need, Hoyer's got to know what they need. That's my biggest complaint.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and I appreciate the call, Jim. And, yeah, there's the other thing that Steve Phillips was talking about with Craig Counsell and the play. Like, I think when you look at it, Craig Counsell is playing the slow game here in terms of his part of this. I mean, they made it very clear that this is going to be a good relationship, you know, GM and manager, because they appear to be on the same page in terms of how a baseball team wins. That's why they went after him. That's why they fired David Ross to do it. They obviously love Craig Counsell, and they supposedly take his advice as well, that they are working on this together. I wonder how deep is Counsell into their ears? Like, how much is he using his voice right now? My guess is not as much as you'd think, because I just feel like he comes in and, you know, pretty much keeps on, you know, a couple of several of the coaches. First, third base, obviously Tommy Hotovy, the pitching coach. So it feels like a guy who was content to, let's just look at this, you know, from a distance a little bit. And then, you know, after this year, maybe he imposes his will a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, hey, and at the same time, I've said this several times, that Craig Count, there is something expected of him beyond your average manager. The Cubs told you how important the manager is by getting rid of David Ross and handing this man $8 million a year. So, yes, a little bit of extra expectation is definitely should be there for Craig Counsell. The manager matters, and the Cubs are the ones that have told you that. So, yeah, I mean, he is fair game. I'm not looking at this season as a disaster yet by any means. They've not met expectations, and of course there's culpability with Craig Counsell, but I have to play the long game a little bit with him, because you know he ain't going anywhere for a long time. So I'm a little bit less roller coastery when it comes to Craig Counsell, but That is somebody that you could circle for sure. 312-644-6767. Alex, I'm having a problem with my call screener, so if you could tell me who is next. Oh, Joe from St. Charles. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going?
You know,
when the general manager decides to wait till next year, I go, all right, it's football season anyway. Go Bears.
Oh, I was looking for my Bears angle. Maybe that's it right there. Maybe that's my Bears angle for tonight. Are you all ready? Man, there's a lot of people depending on the Bears right now. It really is. Like, I'm hearing that from sports fans. I hear that from people in the media. Like, man, are we going to get through this baseball season? Are people really that interested in this at this point? When do the Bears start? Oh, they're starting early this year, aren't they? July 19th. Oh, they got that extra game, the Hall of Fame game. Oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, let's get to Bears. Look, there's always the excitement for the Bears in training camp, but man, for many reasons, this year is seeming to be at an 11, quite frankly, in terms of the hype that is starting to build. Yeah, July 19th for the Bears. Okay, I feel good. I was struck before the show. I took a little walk and I was like going through the show in my head. I'm like, I really don't have like a great Bears thing tonight. But there it was. Let's go to William from the South Side. What's up, William? You're on the Score.
I think it's time to Cubs should start selling off players that are not doing anything.
Ooh, okay.
Because they're not going to spend because of the luxury tax.
Mm. Well, I don't know if the Cubs would or would not. I mean, they always talk about the money that they have and that they would spend it, and it's there for Jed Hoyer. But, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not ruling anything out. I mean, you know, once the trade deadline hits, then you – or as we get closer to it – there are decisions that need to be made on this team in terms of what is your core? Like, has that changed at all in terms of the way you're looking at Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner, Christopher Morel? You know, Bellinger feels like he's just stopping by, like that ultimately, unless the Cubs get their acts together this year, that he won't necessarily be a guy that is around and part of this. PCA, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong, is he a guy that you still look at as your future? I tend to think probably. Or is he somebody that you feel like you're showing off for the rest of the league? You know, I mean, because it feels like the Cubs, while there's no reason why the bottom has to completely drop out, it does feel like they're a big move away from something, that it's not just a little tweak here or there or getting somebody on the roster to be better or to normalize. It still feels like the Cubs need some sort of big move to occur. Not sure what that might be. You know, I don't know if it's in their system. You know, the Cubs farm system is very good. Unfortunately, we just haven't seen any of it yet. And, you know, a lot of these guys are still cooking. You know, it's like they're not ready to come up. And the Cade Horton thing, you know, his injury, unfortunately, that kind of sucked. And then, you know, the probably expected and predicted mixed results from somebody like Pete Crow Armstrong, who, yeah, he plays like a guy who's in his first 162 games of baseball. You go back to last year and this year, sometimes you're like, oh, I get it. I understand why PCA, like why everybody talks about him like they do. And then there's sometimes you're like, what are you doing? Or just, you know, not, sometimes he goes in these slumps with hitting. So I don't know exactly what he is, if he will get the slug part of his game in gear, or if he is, you know, a singles and doubles hitter who can run like crazy and play outfield with the best of them. 312-644-6767 is the number. Coming up tonight, still on the show, in just a little bit, we're going to talk to Mark Schanowski. I love talking Bulls with Schanowski. He's all over it. The NBA draft is tomorrow, and I will be hosting a show at the Advocate Center with the great Chuck Swirsky. He and I will be co-hosting from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock tomorrow here on The Score, and we're planning all sorts of cool stuff. So we've got 3 hours of interactive Bulls talk for you going down tomorrow with the draft. But we'll talk to Mark Schanowski about the draft. I don't know if anybody really knows a lot about the draft, because it's not a great draft. Nobody really watches college basketball anymore, and there's a lot of players from overseas that are near the door, in some cases right at the top of this draft. So it's kind of difficult to break it down completely, but it's, you know, there's so much – swirling with the Bulls right now with the rest of their roster and Zach LaVine and what's going on with him and DeMar DeRozan and obviously the big trade that they just made sending Alex Caruso back to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey. So there's so much to talk about with the Bulls. So we'll do that with Mark Schanowski in about 5 minutes from right now. And we have to. We got to check in with Bruce Levine. He'll jump on at 7:30. Our baseball.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Insider to discuss the Cubs and the White Sox as well. And I got a little something on the White Sox, too, before they get going. White Sox playing tonight against the Dodgers, 7:10 tonight. Chris Flexen against Bobby Miller. I got some stuff on the Sox that I want to talk about at 7 o'clock. But when we return, we're going to bring in Mark Schanowski from ABC7 and any number of places that we'll talk about, all of them next. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, coming off my season in Oklahoma, that was kind of the thought process. It was all extension. And then when a trade happens, that kind of flips my mindset to a different thing. So in regards to the extension, I haven't thought about it a lot over the last, week, four, however long it's been, week or so. But I'm sure that those conversations will happen with my agent, the front office here, and those sorts of things. So, but, it's not the be-all, end-all for me. If it happens, it happens. If not, either way is fine. But as I said, those conversations will happen, and I'll let them play out as they do.
Josh Giddey was traded Alex Caruso to Oklahoma City to get the 21-year-old point guard, I think. Josh Giddey talking about potential of an extension as he ends his rookie contract. So Josh Giddey, a Chicago Bull. I am Mark Grody here with you until the start of Cubs pregame coming up at 8:10 right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Cubs and San Fran with a rematch tonight after that Cubs tough loss to the Giants last night by the final of 5-4. Tomorrow will be the NBA draft, and I'll actually be at Bulls headquarters tomorrow night with Chuck Swirsky bringing you all the Bulls draft coverage from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock tomorrow. So keep it right here on The Score as we will discuss what the Bulls might do with the 11th overall pick. I'm sure some other names will come up during the show and probably will dominate the show, maybe even more than discussing the prospects of this particular draft. But DeMar DeRozan's name comes up, Zach LaVine, Patrick Willing, all these guys on the Bulls, and kind of doing this restart or whatever you want to characterize it as with the Bulls and kind of admitting that there needs to be some big change with the Bulls. That said, I wanted to have on Mark Schanowski tonight. Mark Schanowski of ABC7. He has covered the Bulls before in his life, doing pre and post in the past. He now is with the Windy City Bulls, and he's on my favorite podcast. He's on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast with Stacey King, and Mark Schanowski joins us now on The Score. What's going on, Mark? How are you, buddy?
I'm just enjoying the summertime, sitting on the back patio, watching the world go by, and anxiously waiting to see what's going to happen with the Bulls this summer.
Yeah. Are you really sitting on the back porch right now?
I am doing that, yeah.
That is beautiful, man. I love it. Yeah, that is that is sports romance right there. Yeah, man, I mean, we're all anxious to see what they do, too. It just seems so wide open. This draft is so ambiguous in terms of the player pool and they're not being. I mean, there's definitely some guys at the top that are pretty consistent with people, but this one's a tough one to figure out. Let me ask you this question with all of that said. What do you think the Bulls need most out of this draft, or just in general, what are the Bulls' biggest needs going into draft night tomorrow night? And if you have a guy at 11, please feel free to share with us.
Well, they need size, and more size. Yes. They've got a roster that's just overloaded with guards, and of course, picking up Josh Giddey, even though he has good length at 6'8", is not going to be a guy who's going to really be a big factor on the boards. They need to get some guys who can rebound, who can protect the rim, block some shots, because, obviously their starting center, Nikola Vucevic, is not a rim protector. He's a guy that shoots threes, is a good scorer, but he's not going to offer you a lot in the rim protection area. So I think that they need somebody to complement Patrick Williams. Maybe Patrick Williams, if he comes back, which I assume he will, can slide over and play some small forward. I would like to see them take a power forward or a center. I just mentioned on Twitter yesterday, my guy, who's not a really well-known guy, even though he played in the Big Ten at Indiana, is Kel-El Ware. He's a 7-foot center. He played one season at Oregon, then he transferred to Indiana. And he's a guy that really fits the bill of what the Bulls need. 7-foot, athletic, he can block shots, he can run the floor. He shot 43% on threes last year as well. So he's a guy that's not just limited to, you know, playing in the dunker spot and catching alley-oop lobs. He can also shoot the basketball. And I think that as the Bulls try to retool or rebuild, whatever word you want to use, they're definitely going to try to get younger, and they need a young big man. I don't think Andre Drummond is coming back. And two more years left on that Vucevic deal, and who knows, they may even look at ways to explore including him in a deal. So I think that they need to find a young center who can run the court and can be part of a modern NBA lineup.
I like that. I like that you had a guy, and that makes all the sense in the world. And, you know, there have been some, I don't know that any concrete reports, but, you know, people wondering or whispering, could the Bulls, you know, move up in this draft to maybe go after the kid from UConn, the Donovan Clingan, the 7'2", 280. And then there's a guy at the top of the draft in most of the mock drafts, Alex Starr, the center who is from Australia,
right,
known as an elite rim protector. I don't know what you know about either of those two prospects. Do you know if either of those guys would be worth moving up to get? And do you think the Bulls would be that ambitious?
Always Bears, Mark. Always Bears.
Oh, that's so funny, man. I was just talking in the last segment about how I didn't really have a Bears angle for tonight, but then somebody talking baseball, as depressing as it is right now, Mark, somebody was like, man, my only thought on the Cubs right now is I can't wait for Bear season. So
can't wait, yeah. It's still a few weeks away. But, yeah, I mean, you know, talking about those guys, Alex Saar is a guy 7 foot with 7'4 wingspan. And he's, again, a guy that can run the floor and block shots, but not considered to be very well-developed in terms of his offensive game right now. Most projections have him going number 2 to the Washington Wizards. And Clingan could go anywhere from that 3 to 7 range. And we've heard, you know, not on great authority, but there's been a rumor that maybe the Bulls would be considered looking to trade up to get Donovan Clingan. And the one team that might be receptive to that, if he slides down to 5, you know, the Bulls had talked with the Pistons about a possible Zach LaVine trade, and the Pistons do have some salary cap space. So maybe you could trade Zach and the 11 to move up to 5 and then get a player thrown in on the Pistons side. That I'm not saying that is something that has been talked about, but if AK is serious about trying to make a move to get a guy like Clingan, the Pistons could be a team that'd be receptive to it, because that's a team that's drafted a lot of young players over the last few years. They're looking to make a jump right away with a new head coach. And I think that they'd be receptive to trying to bring in a veteran like LaVine, who's a proven scorer in the league.
That makes some sense, too. Did you watch Zach Edey enough at Purdue to get an idea of what he might project to be in the NBA and where he might or might not go off the board?
You know, it's been amazing what's happened the last couple of years with more teams going to bigger lineups, with Denver winning a title with Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid winning an MVP. And now all of a sudden, teams are going with bigger lineups. You know, we've seen teams go with two bigs up front, which had fallen completely out of fashion in the NBA over the last 5 years or so. Now, a lot of the draft analysts are saying that, well, teams are looking for size. Edey, at the start of the year, was a guy considered as a second-round draft pick, and now it looks like he may go in the lottery. So he's impressed a lot of people with his play in his final year at Purdue, but also the fact that so many teams now are trying to load up with bigger lineups, that I think Edey's stock has risen tremendously. And the same thing with Clingan being a top 5 pick. These are guys that, you know, a few years ago teams would have stayed away from because they don't necessarily play the modern style of being able to switch on pick and rolls and run the court real well. You know, if you've watched any Purdue games, Zach Edey really does lumber up and down the floor. He has he has trouble changing ends. But on the positive side, you know, he's 7'3", 7'4", and just a load in the paint. If he catches the ball in the paint, there's nothing you can do. He's just going to overpower you inside, and he can score with either hand. The question is going to be, can he expand his shooting ranges as NBA career develops? But I think Edey is a guy that's going to find a role. I think he'd be better playing with a team that is more established, where he could just come off the bench and take advantage of favorable matchups. If he were to go to a team like the Bulls or another team that's kind of rebuilding, I think that his weaknesses would stand out more than his strengths.
I love thinking about the idea that the big man is back. And, I mean, I know it's not in the traditional sense, but your Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast partner, Stacey King, got to love that, huh?
Oh, yeah, the big man is back. And he's talked a lot about the fact that we're seeing more of these traditional power forward center lineups, where the Bulls in the last few years under Billy Donovan, there's been times where they've had a center out there and four guards. And that creates some bad matchups defensively and also creates some problems trying to control the defensive glass. So I'm hoping that the Bulls, both in the draft and free agency, make some moves to try to add more size to the group, because obviously Patrick Williams missed almost all of last season. Mm-hmm. And there were so many nights where you're playing Alex Caruso at 6'4" as your power forward. And then that, you know, Caruso is a warrior, and he's willing to defend any position out there, but he was having some tough matchups where he's had to guard Kevin Durant and Giannis, and that's really not what his strength is. He's better guarding guys of his own size on the perimeter.
Yeah. You mentioned Alex Caruso, and I haven't even asked you about your thoughts on Alex Caruso being traded to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey. What did you think about the trade?
Well, the Bulls have been getting destroyed by the national media, you know, but saying how could they not get draft picks back in that trade, considering that Alex Caruso was so highly regarded. But I think that, you know, if you're going to look at criticism, the only thing you can really say is that, you know, AK waited a little bit too long to pull the trigger on that one. Had they made a trade at midseason, they probably would have been able to get a player and a pick. But because of the fact that Caruso only has 1 year left on his contract, that's going to reduce what teams are going to give back in a potential deal, because they're going to have to make an effort to re-sign Alex Caruso. I like Josh Giddey as a player. You know, I had a chance, when I was filling in for Adam Amin on calling a couple of games. I did a game in Oklahoma City, and when you watch him in person, he's really impressive. I think what the Bulls see in him is that he can kind of be their next Lonzo Ball type player, a tall guard who can get a rebound off the defensive glass, push it up court on his own, and get easy baskets in transition. That's one of the things the Bulls really lost when Ball went out, is that they didn't get those, you know, 5-6 easy baskets a game, which really is going to improve your offensive efficiency. And I think they look at Giddey at 6'8", only 21 years old. He has, you know, his best basketball in front of him. A couple of years ago at OKC, he averaged 16.5 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. So this is a guy that's really accomplished a lot in his first 3 years in the league. Everyone knows the story about how he kind of fell out of favor and was benched in the playoffs because he didn't shoot the open three as well as they want. But here's a young guy that if they are going to go into a different phase of this Bulls project in terms of getting more youth and more size in there, I think that he could be a guy that could really be a major asset at the point guard spot.
So what happens with DeMar DeRozan? Is he a part of the future of the Bulls?
I think when they had initial contract talks, they probably were a little bit surprised at what DeMar and his agent were looking for. I think DeMar feels like they're in such a position of strength that he should be getting, you know, everything he wants in his contract demands with the Bulls. And the Bulls are looking at it as, you know, you're a player 15 years in the league, about to turn 35 years old. We don't necessarily want to get committed to a four-year contract at near max money. So Casey Johnson has reported that the Bulls had some initial discussions about a two-year contract at high money, but apparently that wasn't good enough for the DeRozan camp. And DeMar, I'm sure, before he retires, would love to have that championship ring, and it's not likely to come in Chicago, so maybe he's considering possibly going out back to his hometown of Los Angeles and trying to play for the Lakers or Clippers or maybe play for the Philadelphia 76ers, who have cap space. He has a lot of options right now, and I think it's not as assured as it might have felt like at the end of the season when DeMar said so many good things about his experience in Chicago, and I'm sure he was genuine about that. He's been well-received by the fans. He's done a lot of things off the court. He's been a great player for the last three seasons. But if he does seriously want to have a chance to contend for a championship, he's going to have to look at another city. And so I would say that the chances of him coming back, which probably looked like, you know, 75-25, it's probably a 50-50 proposition now.
Mm, yeah, yeah. No, I can feel that. And there's a Giddey effect, obviously. And then you have Zach LaVine. Is this – they have to trade him, right? I keep saying that. They have to do it, right, just to keep everybody happy, kind of?
Well, yeah, that's a tough one because, you know, you don't want to just give him away. Right. The problem with a salary cap-driven league is that everything is predicated by what the contract looks like, and that's what's really hindered their ability to try to trade him. The value of Zach LaVine has really been diminished because of the money that he's owed. He's got 3 years and you know, over $120 million left on that deal, and a lot of teams just don't want to take that on, especially given the fact that he's had injury issues in his career. I don't know if there's an easy solution to this. I think the Bulls may have to be more patient. I would not expect Zach LaVine to be traded on draft night or even on the first day of free agency. I think that they may have to wait to see which players come off the board and which teams are left with money to spend and weren't able to get a free agent. You know, I mentioned the Philadelphia 76ers. They're rumored to be going after Paul George to complete a big three with Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. But if Paul George decides to stay with the Clippers or goes elsewhere, well, then maybe they may be in a situation where they're looking to add another scorer to their lineup, and they might take a serious look at Zach LaVine. But, you know, Zach coming off that foot surgery, it's going to be a tough sell. You're not going to get full value for him right now because of the contract and because of the injury history. They're going to have to really figure out, is this something that we're going to take pennies on the dollar, or do we bring him back, try to let him play and show everybody that he's healthy for a half a season and maybe revisit trade talks at the trade deadline?
Man, this just meant, you know, hearing you talking about that the new, you know, growing potential of another big three. I do wonder what is next for the Bulls. Like, how are they going to get there? Because we're talking about, these are obviously big decisions with DeMar DeRozan. You know, I think 50-50 is a good place where you put it. And the Zach LaVine situation, you know, we just know ultimately he's not going to be part of the future. What are the moves for Arturas Karnišovas this time around to fix what ultimately did not go well? Like, do you think, is there a splash coming from him?
Well, I don't think that there is a big trade that they can make because they don't have the assets to try to get that done. I mean, you could try to look for a sign-and-trade package involving DeRozan or Patrick Williams, but they all are already cashed in their biggest trade asset in Alex Caruso. You know, there are a lot of contending teams that would have loved to have Alex on board as a finishing piece to a potential championship team. But now Alex is off the table, and you're obviously not going to trade Josh Giddey after acquiring him now. So they don't really have a lot to move. You know, they owe their draft pick next year to the San Antonio Spurs and that DeMar DeRozan sign and trade from, you know, 3 summers ago. They just don't have a lot of draft capital. They may be best served to take a step back and hopefully keep their pick next year. It's top 10 protected. So if they decide to, you know, take a step back next year, keep that pick in a draft that's supposed to be one of the best in years, maybe you get a foundational piece there. Kobe White really took a big jump this year. You know, I think that he's going to be definitely part of the future. I think they'll sign Giddey to an extension, even though he mentioned his news conference today that's not a priority. They didn't trade Caruso to let him walk after a year. So I think you feel pretty confident he's part of the future. And then Patrick Williams most likely will be back. Those are the three guys that I think that you can count on. The guy Odesumu is part of the foundation as well. They've got to find some size, and you know, they've got to find a center who can really be part of this mix long term. So there's a lot of work ahead. Hopefully they find a player at 11 that can fit in with the young guys on this team, and maybe Karnišovas can come up with a trade that we're not even seeing right now that can really kind of improve their outlook for the long term.
You know, it looks like too, by the way, that this is unscientific, but the most mock drafted Bull at number, or for the Bulls at number 11, the player is Dalton Connect, the guard out of Tennessee, the wing, 23 years old, 22 points a game. So that's the guy that most
you
people
know,
are mocking the Bulls.
You know who Dalton Connect is? He's Doug McDermott 2.0.
Oh, no!
That's exactly who he is. He's a guy that scored, prolific score at the college level at Tennessee.
Yeah.
But as we saw with McBuckets, he couldn't get his shot off in the pros. You know, he just wasn't quite quick enough. You know, he shoots a decent percentage on open threes, but he couldn't in college. You know, at Creighton, when he played for his dad, he was able to drive to the basket. He was able to get to the free throw line.
Yeah.
And that element of his game completely disappeared in the pros. Connect may be a little more physical than Doug, but to me, when I watched him play at Tennessee, I thought, I'm seeing Doug McDermott again, all over again. So I don't think Bulls fans would be too excited about that.
I don't think so. Like I said, unscientific, man. You could find anything on the internet, Shinowski, I tell you. And I continue to enjoy our work exchange program, you coming on The Score, me getting to go on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. I always appreciate talking to you, Mark.
Yeah, well, training camp's just around the corner, and we're looking to have you back as a regular contributor. We love having you on the show. You've brought a lot to the table, and we love talking Bears with you. So this has worked out mutually beneficial for both parties. We love it.
Yes, it is, Mark. Thanks a lot, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, looking forward to the offseason, and look forward to talking about Bears real soon.
Amen, brother. That is Mark Schanowski of ABC7, the Windy City Bulls. As he said, yeah, I've got caught him a bunch of times doing play-by-play with the Bulls, filling in for Adam Amin. He does a fantastic job. Does the Windy City Bulls, and that, like I was just talking about, the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. Mark Schanowski and Stacey King just kicking it, man. Obviously NBA Bulls heavy, but they talk about everything on that podcast, and occasionally I get to go on and talk about the Bears with the boys. Got to take a break. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk some White Sox at the top, more Cubs at the bottom at 7:30 with Bruce Levine. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
A texter writes, Mark, you're awesome, but wrong. People watch college basketball, my man. KU, preseason number one, the texter says. This season they switched the samples, and then in parentheses, the fugitive. I like that. Like, that's the way sports fans talk to each other. We don't have to hate each other to disagree with each other, do we? And he puts the fugitive. Hey, you're cool. You're cool, but I don't like what you said on the radio. That's a well-done text right there. See, you get your text message read. Now, I read all of the text messages that I get a chance to read. Now, I'm going to read some more of them later. But, hey, that's good. It just feels like, less people than ever are, at least maybe, and that's just a Chicago thing and its surrounding suburbs, that people just don't talk a lot about college basketball in these parts until the tournament, when we all act like we watch college basketball all season long, and it seems worse than ever right now. So that's why I said, in terms of this NBA draft, that it's a difficult one because it's very ambiguous, like in terms of what GMs are thinking, because there isn't like this, Superman prospect this year. That doesn't happen until next year again. That said, tune in starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night for The Score's NBA draft special, hosted by yours truly. It actually says that in the copy, by yours truly and Bulls radio voice Chuck Swirsky. We will be live from Advocate Center, talking Bulls off season and getting ready for the Bulls to make their pick at 11 overall. That's tomorrow night at 6 on The Score and the free Odyssey app. So we'll be talking about who the Bulls might take at number 11. That's obviously a big deal for the Bulls. Might they move up? Might there be more action with the Bulls tomorrow night in terms of Zach LaVine? Probably get more reaction to the Alex Caruso trade and Josh Giddey, although we'll hear from Giddey a little bit later on this program. And tonight, the Cubs continue their series out west against the Giants. Pregame coverage starts at 8:10 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for first pitch at 8:40. And you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And, yeah, I got a little something for you coming up, White Sox fans. An old friend of yours was quoted in the paper today, so I am going to tell you all about that coming up here as the White Sox get ready to take on the LA Dodgers, a Chris Flexen, Bobby Miller pitching situation in that game. And how about this, man? NASCAR is coming back to Chicago again. I think that was announced while I was on a beach in Florida. The Chicago Street Race weekend is coming up on July 6th and 7th. For tickets and experience, visit NASCAR.com or call now for your chance to win a pair of general admission wristbands. Wristbands are always valuable, but that's for NASCARChicago.com. They are good for Saturday, July 6th only. You know what? Be the sixth caller right now, and we will hook you up here. 312-540-0670. It's the contest line. 312-540-0670 to get your hands on a NASCAR wristband. Good luck, everybody. I'm Mark Grody. I'll be back in a minute on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And Stacey King just kicking it, man. Obviously NBA Bulls heavy, but they talk about everything on that podcast, and occasionally I get to go on and talk about the Bears with the boys. Got to take a break coming up in a little bit. We're going to talk some White Sox at the top, more Cubs at the bottom at 7:30 with Bruce Levine. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
A texter writes, Mark, you're awesome, but wrong. People watch college basketball, my man. KU, preseason number one, the texter says. This season they switched the samples, and then in parentheses, the fugitive. I like that. Like, that's the way sports fans talk to each other. We don't have to hate each other to disagree with each other, do we? And he puts the fugitive. Just, hey, you're cool, but I don't like what you said on the radio. That's a well-done text right there. See, you get your text message read. Now, I read all of the text messages that I get a chance to read. Now, I'm going to read some more of them later. But, hey, that's good. It just feels like, less people than ever are, at least maybe, and that's just a Chicago thing and its surrounding suburbs, that people just don't talk a lot about college basketball in these parts until the tournament, when we all act like we watch college basketball all season long, and it seems worse than ever right now. So that's why I said, in terms of this NBA draft, that it's a difficult one because it's very ambiguous, like in terms of what GMs are thinking, because there isn't like this, Superman prospect this year. That doesn't happen until next year again. That said, tune in starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night for The Score's NBA draft special, hosted by yours truly. It actually says that in the copy, by yours truly and Bulls radio voice Chuck Swirsky. We will be live from Advocate Center, talking Bulls off season and getting ready for the Bulls to make their pick at 11 overall. That's tomorrow night at 6 on The Score and the free Odyssey app. So we'll be talking about who the Bulls might take at number 11. That's obviously a big deal for the Bulls. Might they move up? Might there be more action with the Bulls tomorrow night in terms of Zach LaVine? Probably get more reaction to the Alex Caruso trade and Josh Giddey, although we'll hear from Giddey a little bit later on this program. And tonight, the Cubs continue their series out west against the Giants. Pregame coverage starts at 8:10 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for first pitch at 8:40. And you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And, I got a little something for you coming up, White Sox fans. An old friend of yours was quoted in the paper today. So I am going to tell you all about that coming up here as the White Sox get ready to take on the LA Dodgers, a Chris Flexen, Bobby Miller pitching situation in that game. And how about this, man? NASCAR is coming back to Chicago again. I think that was announced while I was on a beach in Florida. The Chicago Street Race weekend is coming up on July 6th and 7th. For tickets and experience, visit NASCAR.com or call now for your chance to win a pair of general admission wristbands. Wristbands are always valuable, but that's for NASCARChicago.com. They are good for Saturday, July 6th only. You know what? Be the sixth caller right now, and we will hook you up here. 312-540-0670. It's the contest line. 312-540-0670 to get your hands on a NASCAR wristband. Good luck, everybody. I'm Mark Grody. I'll be back in a minute on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.